Okay, today is February the 1st, and I am in the home of Lute and Max Voss, and you've lived here for many years. I would like you to tell me, this is Harbord Village is doing a history project, and we want to gather information from people who have been here for at least 35 or more years to talk about what you like about the neighborhood, and even more specifically, the changes that have occurred since you've been here.
Well,
okay, so can we start by you just telling me when you moved to this neighborhood, how many years ago, and how old you were at that time, so we'll know what stage of life. Mm-hmm. So, what year did you move to the show?
We moved in into this house, into the neighborhood, actually, January 1969.
Right. Uh-huh. And what street are you on?
We are on Brunswick.
Good. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but before that we lived on Oxford. Does that count, Oxford Street?
No, that's outside the neighborhood.
Ah.
But 69 is still plenty of time in our neighborhood. What made you decide to move to this neighborhood?
We wanted to stay close to the Kensington Market.
Oh,
and also close to the university, because my wife doesn't drive.
Uh-huh.
And there was a lot of communication with the university and
I think I was going.
Royal Ontario Museum. Yeah, yeah. I think you were there. Yeah.
You were a student at the university?
Yes.
What were you studying?
I have a master's in museum studies.
Okay. Yeah. And then you said it's also close to the museum.
Yeah, because, so, you know, in the Royal Ontario Museum was very important for me.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And what kind of work did you do?
I'm a geologist. Uh-huh. I was with the provincial government.
Right, right. Yeah. So you came to this neighborhood because the location was very convenient and you loved or used Kensington Market.
Yes, and of course also close to my work, which was the buildings, the government buildings.
Where?
What the Whitney Block was originally.
The Whitney Block. Do you know the Whitney Block?
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
On Bay
yeah.
Street.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it was close for you to be a student.
Yeah.
Close to the ROM, close
yeah.
to the Whitney Block.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Whitney Block is actually on university.
Okay, right.
You're thinking of the other blocks.
Yes. So at what stage of life, how old were both of you at that, or approximately how old?
1969, I was...
how old was I then? 36, I think.
45, yeah. No, you must have been a little bit old.
Really? 69?
In 69, I was...
Oh.
Oh, there's Adrian with the, for the key.
Oh.
Okay, shall I turn it on?
Yes, yeah, for me. What is it then?
Okay, so we had a short interruption, and I learned at that time that you are 77 and your husband is 85.
Yep.
So you have been in this neighborhood for a long time.
Yes.
And really, you raised your son and your daughter in
here.
This neighborhood.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right.
And actually, interesting enough, they were the only children that went to kindergarten and went all the way to Lord Lansdowne.
Okay, they went to the local school right
yeah,
here.
Yeah.
Right.
It was so handy. It's actually, first, when we were living on Oxford Street, they went from there. But I was glad when we moved into this house and they didn't have to cross College Street.
Right.
You know,
right.
That was a real advantage from living here.
But that interests me that you said that they were the only children who went right through Lord Lansdowne School. Where did the other children go?
It was very sad. They all moved away, usually after the summer holidays, and Max, those
yeah.
people. They're always trying to better themselves, I guess, you know. And then they would move to another neighborhood. And we were the steady ones, really, because, we just left our kids. Sweetheart, now, what do you want? Now, it is not...
Set the door gewoon open and kan ze hier.
Okay, that's what we'll do. We'll open the door.
When you moved here in 1969, you're both Dutch, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So who else was living here? People, what countries were represented here in this neighborhood when you came here?
So heavily Portuguese
and Jewish.
And Jewish, some remnants, because the Jewish people had moved north, you know. But there were some Jewish people. I don't remember that many Jewish people here.
Oh, yeah, Max. Like, for instance, that very nice family of musicians that lived in my... Oh, sweetheart, no. That lived in my mother's house. What was their name again?
Oh, yeah.
Jacobi.
Jacobi, yeah.
Yeah, and was a famous... He was
Lou Jacobi.
He was a famous musician, actually.
Yeah. Well, he was in New York then, but we found music that...
Piles of sheet music that he had written. I think I might still have some in the basement.
Yeah.
Wow. Lou Jacobi.
So you're saying that there were a lot of Portuguese people around 1969, and still some Jewish people, but some had moved up.
North. And then, besides Portuguese, a lot of mixture of... There were some, like the Greenlands were living just south of Oxford, or south of Ulster.
Right.
And they have been there longer than we have, you know. So there was a mixture of everything, but...
Portuguese.
Yeah. Mainly Portuguese, you're
saying?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
A lot of Portuguese, yeah.
And in terms of languages, were people speaking English or were they all speaking their own languages?
Both. They were all speaking English when it needed, but, you know, amongst themselves, they spoke Portuguese.
And we were very lucky because we lived in Portugal for a couple of years, so we spoke it more or less, you know. I would say I can speak enough to make my neighbors laugh, you know.
But you lived in Portugal before you came?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ah.
How many years again? I don't
remember. For a year and a half.
Uh-huh.
Awesome. Yeah, for my work, you know.
It was nice.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Do you know who lived in this house before you?
Victor, what was his last? He worked in university and I think, I know his name was Victor, but I don't know.
His last name. No. I don't remember his last name. I don't think I've ever met him.
No.
Did you meet him?
No, we never met him. Mm-hmm. Because the owners were Jewish. So I don't know whether Victor was Jewish, but what was the woman's name that
sold his house, you mean?
Well, the funny thing was that I had been looking in the neighborhood because we wanted to find the house in this area. And the day we were going to buy the house that we had finally decided on Major Street, I sort of walked around and I wanted to make sure that the roof wasn't sagging. And so I came to Brunswick to look at the back of the house.
Yeah.
And then I saw the for sale sign on this house. So I said, well, so I went inside and I said, oh my God,
this is
so
wonderful.
So much better.
The ceilings are higher and the square.
So this is a better home than the one that you
bought. Major Street was...
It was a nice little house,
and narrow rooms and high ceilings. This was cubicle, and it immediately gave me a much better feeling, you know. It's amazing, but that's what happens when you step into this house. You feel different.
Yeah. It's a good house, you know,
Yeah. And you felt that. It's in your gut, you felt, I call it the tummy test, but you felt this is for you, right?
Yeah.
And it certainly... turned out to be correct after since 1969. Yeah. That's 40.
Oh yeah, I don't
243 years.
Yeah,
I don't think we'll ever live anywhere else.
And the neighbors next door, they were Portuguese.
They were Portuguese.
Yeah. And then the neighbors here.
No, they were Indian.
Pakistani, huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
Were they in there already when we bought the house?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I was glad when they left because they were, they didn't like us so much. Because my daughter had just started a punk rock band.
Oh, and her music was too loud for them.
No, of course.
Yeah.
And he kept saying, well, you see, the nice young ladies play some fine music. He came to the door. But if it's nice, then I listen. He said, you're a typical Indian guy, you know.
Yeah.
He was a nasty man. He was an engineer.
Oh, he was nasty.
And he was making money off the immigrants, you know.
So you were not sad to see him go?
No, no. Right, although the children were nice, but...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but...
So who makes up the street now, or the neighborhood, as you see it?
Well, Ayla was still living there, was already living there.
She was my mother's best friend. She was from Austria.
Yeah. She, her husband never lived there, but she lived there. And then her son is there now.
Her son is there now?
Yeah. Yeah.
And where are they from? What?
Austria.
Austria. Uh-huh. Yeah, initially, yeah. Emmerich is his name, Emmerich. Yeah. Lovely guy.
And then there's some, and then Ian was there a long time, but I'm not, no, the Michelis live there.
That's right. They were Portuguese?
Yeah. Micheli, the fruit stores, the different stores in, on the market and in the city somewhere.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. And now who do you see here? I mean, is it... do you still have Portuguese neighbors?
Yeah,
Jewish
right
neighbors?
Next door we have Portuguese neighbors, yeah.
And in general, the neighborhood, who populates the neighborhood now?
No, a lot of English people, to English speaking
people.
Much
more a mixture, yeah.
Yeah,
uh-huh. Yeah, much more a mixture of Portuguese. Some Portuguese have left and been replaced by English speaking people.
Yeah, yeah, for instance, Kevin, who I just got to know a little better, they moved in. Well, his wife is from India.
Yeah, that's right.
So they're going back and forth to India. He says, she's always so much happier after. They must have tons of money. After we've been to India, he says. So he says, we make quite a few trips back and forth. So, you know, I've never been in India. I thought, I'd like to come along, you know. It would be wonderful. But, you know, it's of course very important for his wife. He says she feels always more,
And Brian Mangrum moved in since we were here.
Yeah, and they came from...
Vancouver.
Initially, but they also lived in... where they had just built that new art gallery, in Hamilton.
Oh.
They lived for a while in Hamilton, yeah.
But your general observation is that there are more Canadian and American people populating these streets than when you first came here.
Oh, yes.
There were more immigrants at that in 1969, 1970, in the 70s.
I felt very strongly, you know, being so close to university.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine that university people didn't want to live here in this area, but they were all way in the suburbs, you know.
They were all in the suburbs.
And
they always say, why did you move into the slums, they said to Max, you know.
And I remember a meeting we had in the university about the area, and I said, I can't believe you guys, you know. You don't want to damage this neighborhood. You want to keep it for your own people. Your own professors want to live here eventually. I said, why? And they were trying to build high-rises and, you know, they were trying to really push into the neighborhood. And we stopped it because we had a good resident association.
Well, and I agree. I mean, this would not have the charm that it has now.
Absolutely.
And the comfort if we had high rises.
Imagine.
On Brunswick and on Borden.
Horrible idea.
Yeah.
So you're saying there was a strong residents association that stood strong against that kind of change.
Oh, yeah.
Were you involved in the residents association or in any of these kinds of movements?
Later on, I've been the president for about 5-6 years or so.
Really?
Yeah. But who was the woman? Benny? No. Who?
Ismay.
Ismay. Benny.
Benny.
Yeah. Ismay Benny was the head of the resident association at the time, and she was powerful.
Oh, yeah.
But you're saying that you were also head of the resident association.
Yeah. After her. Yeah.
So when would that have been?
Well, that would have been after 7 or 8 years that she was it. So 69, 76, I think.
So you put a lot of effort into this neighborhood then.
You can't
be president or head of whatever the title
no,
is
you have to
without being committed and putting in effort.
Oh yeah. We were all gung-ho.
Yeah. So one of the things you fought were the big buildings.
Oh yeah.
What else was there? What were some of the other issues at that time?
Well, you know that gym that you're building. But it wasn't there then.
Oh, yeah.
Remember?
The University of Toronto.
Yeah. Well, they have a big swimming pool in there, you know.
Right, yeah.
And we fought the height of the building. And ultimately, that resulted in the swimming pool not being fit for Olympic Games because they couldn't build the springboards high enough, you know, because we... down the height of the building.
Whoa. Yeah.
Oh, they were mad at us then. No?
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, it only brings tons of people in the neighborhood. Now, this is very from a very selfish perspective. All to come see the races and see, you know, tons of cars and it's true.
So you were protecting our neighborhood.
Yeah, really. Yeah. And really, they don't care about people in this neighborhood. The university is terribly insular and selfish, I think.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, I'm happy to that you're bringing that up, because that is something we're interested in, the university in relation to our neighborhood. Sorry, you were going to say something.
Yeah, well, the university didn't care, but all their people were living up way up in the boondocks, you know.
Right.
And they had never conceived the idea that it would be nice for their people to live here. They still don't, I don't think.
Well, it just wasn't very glamorous to live here, I guess.
No. Well, but you use the word, somebody said, why did you move into a slum?
Yeah.
You use that word.
Yeah, oh, at that time. So,
yeah. People.
The people in my office, you know, they're all driving back and forth, you know. Like they were on the road for an hour before I got out of
bed. And you could walk or go by bike or TTC.
Yeah.
Right.
No,
right.
We didn't have to bike. Max walked back and forth.
For lunch.
Even, you know. So it was very
so
easy.
So that kept you fit, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Into university.
It was fantastic, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think anybody thinks of this as a slum anymore.
No, not anymore. Yeah. But can you imagine people would say that? Yeah. Yeah. Hey, moving into the slum. You know.
Well, this house was a bit more expensive than the house on Major Street. The house on Major Street was 22,500. And this was 25.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. Would you like to estimate what it's worth now? I'm not asking you to do it.
No.
We cannot afford it. We cannot
people
afford it.
People can't live here. No, we really can't. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
But he right away saw that this was the house that we should have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I saw the house on Major Street. And it was actually also quite a nice little house. So I said to Max, why don't we buy them both, you know? Because they were, and it was so cheap, $22,000 for that little house on Major Street, if you think about it.
So, what did you do?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, you bought, do you still own that one too?
No, we sold it.
Uh-huh. But it was much more than 22 when you sold it, I'll bet.
Not that much more, because my mother did it, and she was so proud of herself. She said, guess what, I sold that house. And I said, Mom, and you know, I did very well with it, she said. You know, and I said, we're never giving her permission to do that. So anyway, no, we did very well with that house.
Oh.
But my mother always thought she was very businesslike and, you know, but she wasn't really.
Yeah, I guess not. were there a lot of different religions here at the time? Churches, synagogues, religions?
Yeah, well, was the synagogue still in use?
Oh, yeah.
You know this little synagogue north of Harvard?
That's right.
On Brunswick, right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's still very much in use.
Yeah. It was a time when it was sort of less.
Yes, I know that. Yeah.
But now it's very perky and healthy, I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But there was another synagogue north of Ulster, north of Sussex, on the corner of Sussex and Brunswick. And that's been used by organizations.
And I don't think that one's there anymore.
The building is still there.
Yeah.
But not used as a synagogue.
It's not a synagogue anymore.
No.
And what about churches? Any comments about the churches that were here, that are here?
Well, we went to the Unitarian Church up on Eglinton, you know, and we had not much to do. We knew the St. Stephen's people, we knew them.
Because our children played together with the St. Stephen's people, you know.
But they were strictly Anglican
and sort
a bit,
know. High Anglican, you know.
High Anglican.
And they really thought very highly of themselves. Well, we do too. But, you know, the point is, it was just...
Well, I had an argument with, what was his name?
Don. Captain Patterson, they call him, Captain. But they were very important in the neighborhood because they were in a summer camp.
Mm. A day camp in the city. In the neighborhood.
No, it was really an overnight camp.
Uh-huh.
Well, they always had activities in the building too, you know.
Yeah, but you know, they had this camp.
Yeah.
And our children went to it too, you know. Yeah.
And the argument, was that related something to the neighborhood?
No, to the religion.
Oh, to the religion.
I was the scientist who didn't believe in anything and was no good, you know.
And they were and they were trying to
Convert him. They disapproved that you were not a religious person.
So I think he wanted to put it to the test. So he said, and he had a friend with him, you know. Well, you don't believe that life is just happenstance, that it just happens and there is no God. I said, yeah, that's exactly what I believe. Oh,
so he was disapproving of
he didn't like that, of course. You know, they were
nice. Kids were nice.
The kids were nice and his wife was awfully nice. She was a total sweetheart. But he was a little stupid.
And neither of you was going to convince the other one.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, really. No, but we liked the Unitarian Church a lot. We had a lot of fun there.
Oh, yeah.
That was great. And the funny thing was, excuse me, when all our kids had grown up in that group, you know, then it had no more use for any of us, and it basically fell apart. We all had to laugh about that, you know.
Yeah. That whole church fell apart, you're saying?
The Unitarian Church. Yeah. For us, you know, we had a...
See, we were an offshoot of the church on St. Clair and Avenue Road, the big Unitarian church. And we had our congregations in the Wimes, in the building.
It was the Y...
The Y building on Eglinton. Mm-hmm. And we had a very good time. We didn't have money to invite religious speakers, so we had all sorts of interesting speakers, politicians, and God knows what.
Yeah, it was fascinating.
It was never about religion.
No, it's never
about. So it sounds like it was a wonderful community that you had.
Yeah,
within your church there, Unitarian Church.
Yes. We had a wonderful, wonderful. But a funny thing again, it was basically I did the. Sometimes I did the kindergarten for the, what do you call that?
Sunday school.
Yeah. But then all of a sudden, all our kids had grown up. You know, they were more or less all the same age, and they were friends, and very nice. And then all of a sudden, poof, it was finished. Obviously the raison d'etre of that church was our kids.
And that population for that time, they grew up, they went away.
And some of the older people went back to the First Unitarian Church,
I'm sure. Yeah, well, we had to start something because for our children, because there wasn't enough room, remember, in the First Church. So there wasn't enough room. So we kept joking about no room in the inn. Let's do it ourselves. So then we rented a little place, where was it? YMCA, I think it was.
Yeah, the
I don't know.
On
if you
Eglinton,
know.
You know, just a little bit east of Yonge Street.
But I don't even think it's there anymore.
Yeah.
Is it still there?
Yeah,
really?
I just want to come back very briefly. That when you lived here with your children, there were four of you living here.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Were there ever any other people living here with you?
Not really. You can say Anthony lived with us for a while.
And Sammy.
And our Sam, of course.
And who is
Sam? Oh, did you saw him last night, Sammy? He's sort of like an adopted son, Sam. Huh?
Screaming Sam.
Screaming Sam.
And his problems.
He is. He's often playing in bands, and he is so creative. Do I have anything here from him? Well, anyway, he makes these huge. What are they called?
Mobiles.
Mobiles, yeah. And he has an exhibition to show you some of his stuff. He's from the Italian community. But you see, these are just... Oh, for heaven's sake. See, look at these things.
Oh, my goodness. And this is from, what is this? Now Magazine, January. January the 18th. Oh, my goodness.
Where is Sam?
Sam sits in the middle.
Oh, here he is. That's Sammy.
So and that's he, and it's the Rattlesnake Choir at Horseshoe.
Yeah. Oh, it's so much
fun. How do you like that for timing when you're trying to tell me who he is? And now you're showing me a few of his sculptures made with safety pins.
He does these safety pin sculptures. Isn't that fantastic?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He periodically would move in for a few weeks, a few days, a few months?
No, it just happened at the time that he didn't have a place to stay. Uh-huh. He lived here for 6 months, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. So sometimes there were five of you.
Yes.
But did you mention somebody else before you said Sammy?
Anthony, you said?
Who's Anthony?
Well, he's the other
Greek guy,
actually.
Yeah, well, he was always helping, you know, with anything needed to be done in the house and so on. And so he became a friend and a house guest. But
I see. Okay, so sometimes they were up to six in this house. No, because in this neighborhood, sometimes there were people who rented and had boarders, and it was much more crowded.
Yeah.
So you were four of you who lived here, and your two children, and then occasionally Anthony and Sammy.
Yeah. I can't even imagine. Well, you know, and we've had a lot of house guests, of course.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Aren't they cute?
But we never
rented. They are. They're lovely.
But you know, and he sells them at every year. He has two exhibitions, I think, at the Cameron House.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's an artist.
He's an artist.
Yeah.
And and Janet, for instance, knows him very well, too.
Yeah.
Janet Goodfellow.
I don't know her.
No.
Yeah. What are the biggest changes that you would say on your street, looking at Brunswick?
On our street, the thing that bothered me was on Ulster, some guys, some builder, talked all the people into cutting off the tops, and they're all square houses, you know.
So ugly. And you know, if you go to that part of Ulster, they did a nasty thing to the houses. You know, these Portuguese without taste, you know. And they all have the same little four blocks in the stones in the top. Very ugly. You just walk slowly by there. And you just
I'll walk there on my way home.
Yeah.
So they swept all across the park, the whole area. Some people resisted, so there is two peaks left, I think, in the whole
thing.
All these nice little gates.
Yeah.
That's one thing that you dislike, that one of the changes that happened.
That's one of the biggest changes, because for the rest, the houses have all stayed the
more
same.
Or less the same. Absolutely.
You know, people want to do something and they have to have a permission. And
Well, some people do an extreme thing, like very close to Bloor there. There is a house that's super modern.
And
it doesn't fit in the neighborhood.
It doesn't look nice in
streetscape.
And they couldn't make it bigger because they're between two other homes.
Yes.
But
yeah.
They certainly made it.
They wanted to have their contemporary show. We are so in, you know.
Yeah.
We are so in, we are out. I'm sorry, you know.
No, I understand, because we have a lovely atmosphere and nature to our home.
And the streetscape. Now, of course, some people always wreck the streetscape. They are not aware. Like, for instance, slant across from us, they built this built-in, you know, they had a porch a little bit bigger than ours.
Yeah.
Front porch. And they built it in. So it's like a
chicken coop.
Yeah, like a rabbit hutch or something.
In front of the door.
And, you know, and if you go and look, and I've had another friend who did the same thing. Oh, that'll give us more room, you know, we can store stuff. It's just a mess.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
It's a bad add-on.
It's so stupid, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't trust myself to have a place like that. I would indeed dump all kinds of stuff there. I know myself.
As far as you know, maybe now, but certainly in the earlier years, did people have what we call cottage industries? Were there some people working from home in any kinds of at-home
work? I think there
work?
Was some sewing, yeah. The Portuguese women sometimes sewed for a company.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But you wouldn't know
that.
For
the rest, I wouldn't know.
No.
Yeah.
No.
The people all had jobs in the city or whatever.
Were the women working or
yes,
the
women
were working?
The women were often cleaning ladies.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But actually, we had more friends that were Portuguese than we were living on Oxford Street. So I was more informed then what they did.
Yeah, that's what they, yeah.
But, the women also helped to make some extra money.
Yeah.
So you're saying they were cleaning other people's homes?
Yes.
Yeah.
But, and sewing. Or sewing.
Right. Yeah.
But then again, I did a little sewing myself.
What about the traffic? Have you seen big changes in traffic?
Oh, yeah. At the moment, it's terrible. I'm so concerned when my cat is outside, you know.
So what makes it terrible?
We need speed bumps, more speed bumps, you know. It just...
So people are racing too quickly. Yeah.
The cat is bouncing around.
What are we going to do with you?
He's in the kitchen.
I locked him up in the kitchen.
No,
what's
his name? He was the alderman at the time.
And
he made sure that we had this traffic calming system.
Right.
Where it's one way, all the way, you know, you can never go straight. And that's been a big help.
I'm sure that slowed it down to some extent.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they could race from college to
that's
the
right.
And that's
they
what,
would.
That's what they were doing. All these young guys with these little reds.
So now they're coming around the corner sometimes a bit fast and so on. But, traffic is always nasty. I mean...
What can you do?
What about use of sidewalks and porches? Use of the street in general, people living here?
It's not much change, you know.
Well, it is a change. All of a sudden I'm thinking of Micheli, remember? That fine morning we were sleeping outside on our balcony.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he had a first communion party in his backyard. She was just leaving it on a couple of sheets. And all of a sudden we woke up and there was the whole family in communion wear, you know. And
so they had a celebration in their backyard.
And they are three houses from us, you know, yeah. And we hadn't quite, you know, we wrapped ourselves in sheets and we snuck into the house as much as you can do that.
But you had been sleeping outside? It was a hot day?
Yeah.
In the summer we had, we have a balcony. We have the bedroom in the back upstairs.
Uh-huh.
And then a balcony with sliding doors. So sometimes when it was really hot. But it usually started to rain at 4 o'clock.
Ah, 4 a.m. rain.
Oh, but you would sleep outside.
Yes.
Beautiful.
It was wonderful. And this... beautiful clouds going over your head. It's so lovely to sleep outside. Yeah. We haven't done that for years now.
Well, we have raccoons now. We didn't have raccoons at the time, you know.
That's true.
Raccoons come and visit, you know, the crowd.
Yeah, that would not be very welcome to have raccoons.
No.
2 inches away from you.
It's true. And one time, we had a dog. We had a lovely, lovely, lovely dog. And we were going to bed upstairs in that back room there. And the dog was so funny, and he was telling me something, and he was scratching a little on the window. And I said, Maxie, there's nothing there. You know, I say now, how arrogant of me. You know, they have such good ears. You know, when they tell you there is something there, you better believe it. They have good ears. So anyway, but I said, no, Maxie, there's nothing here. Okay, all right, let's have a look. So I opened the balcony doors, and we stepped outside together, and we both put our paws on the balcony. Looked out and I said, look, and he was going, we both looked down, and so far from my face was this big fat raccoon going,
oh, but it didn't bite you.
No, but I let out a yell. Honestly, it was the last thing I'd expected, you know.
That must have been frightening.
It was
but
very
your dog
scary.
Was right on top
he
of it.
He was right there, you know. He was right there with me, you know.
So your husband is Max and the dog was
Max.
Yeah, because my daughter had the dog in South Carolina.
Yeah.
And she said, well, this will probably be the only grand thing you ever see.
She was wrong.
She was wrong. And she said, so Dad, I called him after.
That's sweet. Yeah.
So he was...
Wow, but your dog was really alert to what was happening.
Oh, it was a wonderful dog, Max. Oh, we were very... I would like to have another dog, but we got a cat because it is easier.
Yeah, they are much less work.
Yeah.
What about the use of the back lanes then and now?
Oh.
Our stops, you know, we have only a short stretch, so nobody bothers us.
We did it on purpose. They were talking about, shall we have it... you know, make
a through lane.
Yeah. And then cars can go. Yeah, but that's the point. We don't want any cars. So
was it paved at that time when you moved
No, it's been paved a couple of years ago, 2 years ago or so.
Yeah, but even now it's not paved very well.
The lane?
Oh, the lane. No, I was thinking of the space behind our house.
Oh, no, but the lane is...
But so the lane was not paved in 1969?
No.
And it was just paved fairly recently?
Well, they had an expropriation, so we always had to give a certain distance for neighbors,
Sweetheart.
You know. So that part was expropriated. We had to sign a paper for expropriation, and then they paved it, which is much better because it's drained.
Yeah.
It's properly drained.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And the lane here going from Brunswick to Major is totally paved.
Yeah, and that's very nice.
And in the winter,
that
was always messy.
Horrible, yeah.
Did the children ever use the lanes, or did you ever use the lanes?
Our children never did, huh?
Yeah.
No. The children on Ulster used to play it a bit, but not in the lane. The backyard was big enough for
them. So tell me about the backyards. How were they used then? Are they used in a similar way now?
Well, when we bought this house, there was an old garage. It was almost falling apart, so we just got rid of it.
Uh-huh.
So ours is open, but the neighbors each have a well-built cement block garage, you know.
Did your family use the back? Was there any space besides the garage? But you took it down anyway.
Well, yeah, we used to have parking space at the fence halfway, but since the lane is wide enough, I had parking space behind the fence that runs equal with the garages.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have a comfortable space there, and we have a bigger backyard that way. So that's nice. Oh, we played badminton with Michael, didn't we?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
grew some vegetables.
But not more than that. Our Portuguese neighbors, my Portuguese neighbor there,
cucumbers, tomatoes, we get the handout.
So they grew, your Portuguese neighbors had a lot of vegetables.
Yeah.
They shared with you.
Always.
Because I planted a cherry tree.
Uh-huh.
And we've had cherries for years.
Oh, it was a wonderful tree. It's simply now too high to climb in. We need,
So you still have the cherry tree.
The tree is still
But most of the cherries are too high for you to reach.
And the birds get them, you know, and I can't be bothered. I used to sit on the balcony with the garden hose.
Spraying the birds.
6 o'clock in the morning.
But they were such great cherries. Oh,
are they still the good
best
cherries?
Yes.
The regular big cherries.
Uh-huh. Delicious.
So you planted that tree?
Yes.
How tall was it when you planted it?
No, it was just a little...
little thing.
Sprite.
And how tall is it now?
It's a huge tree.
It's huge.
Yeah. And I cut the half off because it was over the neighbor's yard too.
Yeah.
And it got so messy with the cherries falling down.
Yeah, so that tree has really thrived. But they do get messy if you can't.
And we got it from a neighbor on...
on Ulster.
On Ulster, very nice old man.
He had a tree, a cherry tree. I said, oh God, I wish I had a cherry tree. He said, well, I have a little... stem, you know, a little sprout.
Wow.
So he said, if you plant it in your backyard and you put, what was it, banana peel?
Fish
heads.
Yeah.
For the potassium, you know. I said, yeah. But I planted the thing anyway and I never bothered. And it kept growing and growing.
And I said, now did you put those fish heads in? He said, the whole backyard will stink. So anyway... He didn't, but it thrived, you know, it really...
Well, it certainly sounds...
So
I have a friend who lives on Brunswick, closer to Bloor, and she too has a huge cherry tree.
Yeah.
And it's lovely, and it's very messy.
It is.
Yeah.
But, you know, on the other hand, I think it's worth it. Yeah. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What about the heating? Have you changed the heating since you've lived here?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Our oil furnace broke down... within a year of buying the house. So all our extra money went into the new furnace.
Yeah, we were really poor there. You know. Yeah, we ate a lot of spaghetti.
Do you have air conditioning?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And when did you put that in?
Do you remember? About 10 years after we bought the house.
So you've had it for a long time now.
Yeah. And the guy said, well, it's an old-fashioned, but he said, don't you worry. This machine will outlast all your neighbor's machines. And the neighbors had the third machine since then. And we still have that old... We still have that old
clunker, you know.
And it still cools
the house.
And he wraps it up as plastic. And the guy that sold me this one said, don't bother. This thing is built for weather resistance. And don't put plastic over, you ruin it. And it's true, you know.
Wow. Have you never told Johnny that?
Yeah,
I told him. Well, he doesn't listen. You know.
No.
I'm going to ask something which sounds silly, but your children grew up here. Our committee decided we would talk about dating. Now, you two were already married by the time you moved here. But your children, were there certain dating patterns that happened when they were reaching young adolescence and adolescence? Any thoughts, comments?
Of course
there
were.
Well, they were totally different. My daughter and my son were totally different.
So different. So different. Well, our son, oh, sweetheart, you are such a nuisance. My goodness.
Wants to be where the
action is. Sometimes you can be such a nice, well-behaved cat. But today,
you just... That's not a problem. Yeah.
Come here, puss.
Come, tootie. Come.
So you're talking about your son and your daughter.
My son and my daughter are terribly different from the get-go. Always. Very, 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 very different. How shall I say it? My daughter is always very outgoing, and she has hundreds of friends. No, it doesn't work, sweetheart. No.
That's fine.
But he... Yeah. Well, he was interested in dance, and he would go to the National Ballet School, and he would dance. And later
so he took lessons? He studied there?
Well, they asked him, you know.
Oh.
Yeah, he was... Okay. No, we didn't have much money for lessons, actually, to be very honest with you. But, well, for instance, in the beginning, he was in the Nutcracker, you know, like that.
He danced in the Nutcracker?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So he's a serious dancer.
Yeah, he was a serious dancer. Huh?
Yeah.
And then so at what ages was he dancing ballet?
I think 8. He started at 8, something
when
like
he started,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and they really wanted him. Oh, my goodness.
Please.
I couldn't believe it. I thought, well, you know, I phoned up for my daughter because she was a board in school, and they have apparently a good public school at the National Ballet School. So I thought maybe she could go there and she would be less bored, you know. So they said, oh, yeah, and do you have more children? I said, well, I have one son. Oh, could you bring him too? Because they're always more interested in boys than in girls. They can always, girls galore, you know, but not boys. So, okay, so we set out, and of course... I made a real fuss about my daughter, beautiful tights, and a nice little knot on her head. But I didn't know what Michael, I didn't think it mattered so greatly. So, and I said, what should I bring for my son? Oh, well, just a t-shirt and a pair of socks, he said. So anyway, so we went there, and here, all of a sudden, I see this little Hamlet, sort of, you know, blonde hair, beautiful. I said, oh my God, what the heck, Michael? I said, just take a paper bag and throw some stuff in. But, you know, so there comes little Hamlet and all the other boys in black tights and white shirt, like little t-shirts, very nice. I had no idea what he would be looking at, like. So all of a sudden, because I'd been fussing with my daughter and put her hair nice, and all of a sudden out comes this little guy with his wrinkled t-shirt in multicolors, you know, and he wears this very wrinkled little bathing trunk, you know, also jacket, I think, in a million colors, and he comes jumping out, and the woman next to me said, who's that? And I said, you know, I thought, oh God.
That was your son.
That's my son, yeah.
But he had never danced.
No, well, he actually had always. He was always sort of dancing, walking.
But he had never had lessons or classes.
Never, no. So anyway, and then in the end, they all started coming over, and they all started poking. He's like, oh my God, he's doing everything wrong. There you have it now, you see? His arms, his legs, they were all, you know, they were just looking how limber he was. So anyway, nobody looked at my daughter. Although she is really quite a good dancer. But, you know, no. But boys, of course, are rare.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they all came over to him, and then they asked me, they said, could your son, well, he's a year too young now, but could you phone next year, and he'll be definitely in the ballet school.
So they saw that he Yeah. They wanted boys, but they also saw that he had talent.
He had talent. He did. He really did. And he, in fact, he danced for quite a while, actually.
Yeah.
But more contemporary. He wasn't so into ballet anymore, you know.
Oh.
Yeah.
But he wasn't in the ballet school that long.
No.
2 years.
They kicked out a lot of people after the second year. Yeah. And I talked to somebody who really knew that whole outfit really quite well. And she said, well, they were doing some incredibly stupid things, you know. And there were a couple of teachers that were so nasty. And it was true, because Michael hated to go to school. And I said to him, how's that teacher? I don't really like her much to look at. And he said, she never talks to me, never.
Okay.
So I said, how are you doing then? But Michael's always been tremendously good at amusing himself.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, what are you doing? He said, well, I don't know. I like looking at the clouds, he said, you know. And,
okay, so I'd like to come back to, I mean, that's a lovely story of your son and his talent. And obviously he loved the dance.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we were here in the right spot. You know, it wasn't far. He didn't have to go far.
Right.
Either.
Of course. And there we are again talking about our neighborhood being
yes.
so well located.
It's so well located. Yeah. So we got a lot of kids from the ballet school also. Sleeping over hammocks, and then they didn't want to go back.
So you always had an open door policy in your house, in your family. Yeah. But to come back to the dating, you said they dated differently.
Well, Michael wasn't. Girls liked him a lot, but he wasn't terribly interested.
Sitting on the phone, swinging the horn around, talking to her.
Yeah. Hello. Yeah. Now I have to go have tea with my mother. Bye.
So they were chasing him.
Yeah, the girls were crazy about him. But he wasn't ready for that yet then.
Yeah.
Later on, he said, I said, Mike, I'm so glad you're still doing ballet. He says, Mom, listen, we have three boys in a room with 28 girls. Why shouldn't I be dancing, you know?
Yeah. So he had a sense of humor.
And then, And then he danced for quite a while. He danced with some... Merce Cunningham, I don't know if you ever heard of him. No, he's a very prestigious old dancer that he danced with, actually, Merce. And, he's really had some very good teachers.
Yeah.
This was in New York, when he had already moved there.
So he pursued the dancing, not ballet.
Actually, not ballet, And now I even can see that it's very old-fashioned, you know? Really, I've seen so much dance that you really are aware that... Come, let's do something else now. You know, now have you ready for some fresh air or something?
Yeah.
Although I still like to see the Nutcracker, you know. It's not that it's so sweet. But, you know, they have to go beyond the Nutcracker, I think. Anyway, dating. Well, Michael was more or less usually pursued by some girls. And then he had a little dancer who was his friend, remember?
Oh,
Janet.
Yeah.
And Mickey, well, they are so different.
You don't want to talk about it.
Mickey has always had so many friends. Like, even as a little girl, she was a member of the Greasers. Well, the Greasers, that was a whole group of boys, and they called themselves the Greasers. Well, they would be working on cars and messy, greasy stuff. But she was the one girl in the Greasers, you know. Michael, they're so totally different. Totally.
So very different as children and as adolescents and adults.
Totally.
And the amazing thing is Mickey was always friends with all her ex-boyfriends. They were always friendly. There must have been several.
I have no idea. 20? Would you say 20? Yeah, you know, so that was very nice. This was always a very good group. Interestingly, now this is interesting. Of course, we would have to do birthday parties for our kids. You know, we do a birthday party for Mickey. And the girls, then I'd phone all these families, Portuguese families usually. And the girls, the daughters were not allowed to come, only the sons. Yeah. And then I'd say, listen, we are good people, you know. My husband will come pick the girls up with a car and we'll bring them back. Or if you don't like us to do a car, then we'll walk you. Your daughter home, that's okay too. No, and then you hear in the background, you hear this poor girl sobbing and crying.
Oh,
so sad. Hammocks?
Yeah.
So you're saying those parents were very protective? And
they were very protective of their daughters.
Of the daughters, yes.
Yeah. And that was the difference. And then one time, in fact, Mickey, you know, this was the time that you had that rib velvet, and she very much wanted to have a, you know, one of these sort of eight shapes in rib velvet. You could sit on it or lie on it.
Yes, I remember those.
Remember those?
Yeah. Bean bags.
Bean bags.
Yeah. But bean bag chairs.
Yeah, but I'm very long, you know.
Okay.
So we made one. My God, I think it went almost all through the house practically.
Yeah.
And doubled and tripled and, yeah. You know, it took about half of the room almost. But anyway, they loved it. They loved this stupid thing.
The kids loved it.
The kids
to kind of lounge on it and
we had that
lean on each other.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And sometimes they slept on it even, I think. Huh?
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Yeah. We had this big thing here.
Yeah.
And how did it come to that? Oh, yeah, the first time that we had it was for, I think, Mickey's birthday. So, and it, we didn't quite know exactly yet what to do. So it was like a big tree trunk from there to there on the floor, like this big, it was full of these pellets, you know? I call them electrical breadcrumbs. You know, they jump on you and you couldn't, you have to take them off, you know, one man. Awful. Anyway, so we had that. And then she said, now I'm going to ask people for my birthday. And the whole tree trunk was full of boys sitting side by side by side. No girls.
Oh,
only her. Because the girls weren't allowed to come.
Oh, too bad.
That tells you about the dating patterns, you know? Yeah. And Mickey always had lots of boyfriends. Yeah. Actually, she had some friends from Central Tech. Remember? What's his name? That very talented basketball player. Ivor.
Oh, Ivor, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's an interesting memory that you have, that the girls were not allowed to go.
No.
The parents kept them close to home.
It's better now, and it was already better in a Chinese community.
Okay. So the Portuguese families
were very tight. But, you know, what was her name? Mrs. Lum. She was a very famous Chinese lady. Mrs. Lum. And her family, her kids, were more free, you know. So Mickey had a lot of these Lum kids as friends.
I'm going to switch the topic to stores. Stores on Bloor, on Harvard, on College, Sussex. So what do you remember about the stores that existed when you moved in here as compared to now, all these years later?
The stores?
Stores, Well, including restaurants, including theaters, the whole thing, all the commercial things.
Yeah. Well, there was this on the corner here, Ulster and Brunswick, was a little store for all sorts of things.
Rice, for instance, I remember they had rice.
And opposite, there's still that kind of store.
Yeah, yeah.
That's an old-fashioned neighborhood store that's still there. You know?
Yeah.
This one, a sculptor woman, has her classes in there.
Oh, that's right, Susan.
Susan,
So that was a store that had a lot of rice?
Yeah, they sold rice at one point before Susan moved in. That's the only thing that I knew that they had. And then for a little while there was a very fancy shoemaker in there.
On the same corner?
On the same...
So a shoemaker and then the person who had a store that sold rice.
No, the other way around. First the rice and then the shoemaker. And he made these really, I think he worked for ballets and he made very, but you know. Oh yeah, I went in one time with Nicole.
Oh.
And they made these beautiful little boots. And she said, oh, that's a beautiful boot that you've made there. And he said, she said, how much would it cost? He said, $125. She said, for one? She said.
Wow.
You know, Nicole.
So he had commissioned jobs.
And that was for a little while. Maybe didn't last longer than 2 years, I think. And then, do you remember, maybe Susan bought the building then, or ask her.
Yeah, that's all I remember. She's been in there a long time, you know.
Yeah, now she has.
She creates a lovely garden around her,
too. Lovely. Yeah, lovely. Yeah.
Any other stores that you can recall in this neighborhood?
Well, I'm trying to think what the cleaner, the cleaner on the corner of Harbert and...
That is a dry cleaner, you mean?
The dry cleaner, yeah. What was that before?
Yeah, what was there before? That's true. I never go to that dry cleaner. I don't really like them. But other people are crazy about them.
I don't remember.
But there was another store before that. don't remember.
And on Harvard, any other stores that you remember?
No, of course, the Harvard Bakery was always there, you know. Uh-huh. Yeah, the Harvard Bakery, we knew them right from the beginning.
Yeah,
because I had another friend who knew them, and she introduced us to them. Mm-hmm. So we're still sort of friends with them. Uh-huh. One time we went camping with them, remember? With the people in the Harvard
Bakery. Yeah, yeah.
Really,
yeah.
The two families went camping together?
Our family and
oh my goodness.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And Rafi, do you know Rafi?
I know Rafi, yes.
Yeah, and Sue.
Yeah.
So we went one time, we went camping together.
Wow.
And all the way to Quebec.
Oh, it was far, yeah. Yeah, Rafi had it in his mind, he has these things in his mind. They had a lot of very old French Canadian houses there or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
So we went out looking for these darn houses. We spent a whole day.
He wanted to see that.
He's very, you know, once he has got something in his mind, we have to do that.
Tenacious.
Yeah, very tenacious. But, you know, we've been friends with him, God, for how long? Yeah. I don't remember.
Well, I think his father bought the bakery in 1945.
Yeah.
Is when his father bought it from somebody else.
Yes.
So it has been here a long
time. Yes,
it
has been for a long time. Yeah. And we were introduced to them through a Jewish friend of ours, she's not living here anymore.
And any other thoughts about the stores as you remember them, that they used to be or what exists now?
Well, I'm trying to think the ceramic store
on the corner there?
Yeah. So what was that before?
God, isn't that terrible? That's right. I remember being really happy that they put that nice ceramic store in there. Yeah, I remember. You know, so, this is great. This is so nice. Now I feel almost guilty because we have so much stuff, you know. So, except when I really need a very special gift to go in there to buy something.
Yeah.
I feel always a little guilty about that shop, you know.
Because you want to be supporting it more?
Yeah. It's impossible because I don't know anybody who I can give something to, you know.
Mm.
Yeah, it's just really hard. I hope that they're making a go of it. It's a lovely shop.
Well, they have a lot of classes also, so that's another way
that
to bring them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that helps, of course.
Yeah. Any comments about the JCC?
I was just thinking of the JCC. Yeah, well, the same friend that introduced us to the Harvard Bakery introduced me to the JCC, and she said, you know, Lou, this would be so fun for you guys. You could all work with clay. And what was the name of that woman? It was a Jewish woman, of course, who was teaching classes there.
Oh, she was giving pottery classes.
Yeah, yeah.
Michael has taken classes there quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, they always asked him if he wanted. Because, actually, I still have, you see that little statue there and that guy behind her?
I do.
Yeah. The kids made that there
in the classes at the JCC.
Yeah, JCC. Years ago. I mean, God, I don't know how long that's ago that is, you know. Yeah, but
so your family has used the JCC.
They loved going there. Yeah. I didn't think of doing gym there or anything. I don't even know if they did. It was more like a neighborhood community place.
And that's the nice thing about it, because it is a community place, and there is the gym for those who want that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It is both.
It is both. Yeah. No, I think it's true. Actually, yeah. But we, you know, now I'm going there, you know, whenever I feel like it, to do gym or swim.
So you belong there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you do.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. But I can never get my daughter to come, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's an active place. Yeah.
Oh, it's a very, I go where,
you go?
Very often.
Yeah.
I also gave fitness classes there for more than 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which one? Kiri.
Oh, yes. She teaches AquaFit.
Yeah. I go to the AquaFit.
Oh, okay. There. So you'll see me there sometime.
Okay,
Now that we know each other. What do you think about the security of our neighborhood? The livability, the security of the neighborhood? Safety?
So far, it's been very good.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing is when kids come from the Brunswick House on the Bloor, they sort of push car windows in or something, you know. That's and students, well, they are students from the Brunswick House, you know, from the University of the Brunswick House, and they come through the street and then they do a bit of malicious things. But as far as stealing or so, I've never had any problems.
Touch wood, you know.
Yeah, right, yeah. Because I've always wondered.
So that's kind of vandalism.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
kind of for a bit of fun.
Yeah. But yeah. no more than that, yeah. really.
You so know? You feel that it's...
Do you feel safe?
Yeah, but you live in a big city. You always have to be prepared for some things happening. But so far, I think the police has it under control. I don't know how they do it, but you know, so when you hear about bad things happening in the city, you always wonder, could that happen here? You know, and then, oh, I guess it could. But of course, there's nothing to steal in the houses. You know, they used to steal radios and then things, and I guess now they steal computers. But
it would still be a bad feeling to have somebody break into
awful.
Your head.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. One time somebody had broken into our neighbors. But the Portuguese people still lived there. The other Portuguese families.
Oh, okay,
families.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I remember. But that was actually the only time that I remember that they had broken in there and they stole a radio, I think.
And I'm sure the people in the little store on the corner get bothered sometimes.
Yes, are you going to talk with her? She's lovely.
Okay. So, and she's been here for more than 35 years?
No.
I'm sticking only with people.
Oh, yeah.
Because I want to know how people observe the changes that have occurred.
Okay. Yeah, that's
a maybe as another part of our study. But right now, it's just sort of over the decades, the changes that have occurred.
Yeah.
Was Rochdale an issue while you were here? Or
yes, it was a very interesting place. We went for dinner there. Number of times, remember?
Yeah.
I thought it was wonderful, especially because I'd been on a dig, an archaeological dig, from the university. I needed another couple of marks, and the professor said, well, if you cook for us on that dig, then I'll give you an A. So, so I said, well, you know, of course. So, and then after that, I felt so lonely, you know, just the three of us here or the four of us here. And I said to myself, gosh, I really need more people around me. I'm now so used from being on that dig that there was such coming and going. So then we went to, I said, let's eat in Rochdale. So for a while there.
Did they have some kind of restaurant there?
Yes.
They did.
Yeah, yeah.
So that would have been in the 70s? When would that have been?
Probably,
late 60s, early 70s, I think.
So you kind of hung out there occasionally.
Yes, yeah.
So you enjoyed the atmosphere of what was
happening. It was nice. I liked it. Oh, yeah, I liked it very much.
Yeah,
no, I had friends who lived there, and, you know, they saw somebody fall out of a window once, you know. I mean, and the body coming by, you know. Yeah. There were some nasty things, really. Yeah, people high on drugs, you know.
Yeah.
That's dangerous.
It is very dangerous. Yeah. But since we were not, we had little to do with that aspect of it. Yeah.
Well, I think we're drawing to it an end, and I certainly appreciate that you allowed me to come and speak to you in your very colorful, wonderful
home.
Thank
you.
And I'm wondering if there's, the topic of this was to talk about changes that you have lived with and observed and experienced. Is there anything that we have not talked about that...
Well, like old people, for instance, that have died since we've lived here, you know.
Yeah, but that happens all the time.
Yeah, you know, but like the old people we knew, like Cyril Greenland, you know.
Yeah.
You knew Cyril.
I knew Cyril and his daughter Aya. I don't know their son. His son. But I certainly knew Cyril.
Lost
to our community.
Yeah. And his wife, well, Jane, she was a very good friend of mine, you know. Very Scottish. She really, like Hamish, speaks a little bit like that.
Uh-huh.
But she really spoke had a very Scottish accent. You know? She's a lovely woman. Lovely, lovely, lovely woman. Yeah.
Well, the main change, of course, is the doctor's hospital. What used to be the doctor's hospital is now
for a nursing
old age
home.
People.
Right.
And so
yeah,
on.
That is a big change. It's sort of.
And that was quite an issue in the neighborhood association, you know, the how big was the building going to be. And
you mean,
and
again, the height of
the
building?
And the height and everything.
Yeah. Of course, they try to get it as big and as high as they can, you know. Yeah, that was a bit of... You know, you get this wind effect, you know, when you walk by there in the winter.
Like a wind tunnel.
Yeah.
But you're saying it was really important to keep our neighborhood a neighborhood and not some place with huge high-rises.
Absolutely. Yeah. That was a big factor.
And you accomplished it.
Thank God. Yeah. Well, you know, Crombie was the mayor at the time, and we had support, I guess, from the city also. But that big thing on Spadina is the last one built, and the rest, no more.
Well,
and
so,
can you imagine what this neighborhood would have been like?
But I'm learning from you then that all those years ago we had a strong residents association, and we still have a strong residents association.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's very important if you want to keep a nice neighborhood. I'm convinced, you know, if people didn't bother to go out to the association meetings and so on, they're not even very active anymore compared to what they were, you know.
Yeah.
Like, let me say, in the time of the when they were building the university thing there, then they were very active.
Oh, yeah.
Active meaning you had to fight.
Yeah. Fight the university.
Right.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, I want to say thank you to both of you for
sharing
your stories so openly and so articulately.
Thank you.
So will we see the results of what you're doing?
Well, at first we had thought about a book. It's likely not to happen, but you will see the results. It'll be on our website. I can't say when, but you have my name, you have my phone number, and you can keep in touch with me.
Okay.
But I just want to say a big thank you to both of you.
Well,
it was very nice. Where did I have...